This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.
Hi there, I'm Lale Arakoglu, and this is Women Who Travel. This week, I'm chatting to my very own sister-in-law. She's Tiffany Mathias, who is a self-described baseball stadium chaser. I'm fascinated, and it's not anything that's familiar to me. So here we go. Scoping the ballpark, chatting to fans, sampling the different hot dogs, and of course, crisscrossing the country on the most amazing road trips.
You can get to the stadium and make up your mind and talk to some ushers. There's just so much that's involved. There's customer service will actually stamp a passport that says you've been at the stadium, and so people collect passport stamps. You can obviously, like I did in Texas, get an usher to take you around and check out the whole stadium. And then there's times where I've just walked in and just watched a game and left. I think the Brewers gave out hoodies one year that were pretty phenomenal. Like, some of the giveaways are pretty great. People get really passionate about, like, what details a greater stadium, then you get into the mix of the culture and the food and the atmosphere and the outside of the stadium going into the stadium. The only reason we went to Kansas City was because of the stadium. So, I mean, it does bring in people to the area because of the team. I know that for, you know, X amount of hours, I'm going to be sitting there and just enjoying the game. Just alive, but happy. Like, the adrenaline and the peaceful calmness that just happens, like, when you're in a good atmosphere.
Tiff, you're my sister-in-law.
Yes.
We've known each other for many years. We spend holidays together, many summer weekends together. I know that baseball is a big passion of yours. Visiting stadiums all over the country is a big passion of yours. I know nothing about baseball. You know this about me. When it's Thanksgiving, which I understand is not baseball season, but when it's Thanksgiving, I'm reading my book when everyone's watching sports.
Yes.
Where did this passion for baseball come from and for wanting to visit every stadium in the US? Like, did you inherit it, or is it just something that you like found on your own?
I blame my mom. She's amazing. Growing up, I was running in and out of the house, playing in the neighborhood, and my mom always had TBS on. She watched the Braves nonstop throughout my childhood, and she was just a massive fan. And we grew up watching her watch baseball and then us watching baseball. And my brother and I played. I played with the boys until Little League. To get to your original question, what made me start doing baseball stadiums, I was dating a gentleman and I had followed him to Toronto. And he was talking about how people chase stadiums. And I was like, oh, I think this is like five or six for me. And I, because of where I live in central Pennsylvania, everything is within 4 hours. A very easy drive to get to five, six, seven stadiums. And so I was like, this could be a feasible thing for me. When it comes to chasing stadiums, though, there's no true line of what's right and what's wrong. Some people are phenomenal and do it 30 stadiums in 30 days, and they make a true road trip out of it.
Wait, that's crazy, because you're zigzagging all over the country.
Yeah. Think about the logistics of just trying to get all over the country getting to the stadiums, getting, you know, day games, night games. To do 30 and 30 is phenomenal. It's amazing. It took me 20 years to accomplish the 30 stadiums. So kudos to those 30 for 30 people.
Look, they just, I mean, that's just so extra. So you've done two road trips, right?
Two specific road trips.
Road trips. Clearly you weren't doing 30 and 30 days, but it must have been like quite intense.
It's crazy because some games could be a day game and then you drive to your next location and take in a night game. And then you turn around and try to get to a day game. And part of the reason it took me so long to get all 30 stadiums was because for the longest time I needed San Francisco and Oakland, which are like 30 miles apart. But I couldn't get the schedule to coordinate where one was home, the other one was away, and it would be like 4 days in between. And I'm like, I can't spend 4 days in California waiting for the A's to come back to town.
You're like, even I know this is crazy.
Yeah, like I need a weekend, guys. Like someone come home, someone go away, like split it up so I can get it in there.
You keep on using the phrase chaser. Which yes. I like, I'm like, you get like tornado chasers, you get like the eclipse chasers.
Yeah.
What are the characteristics? And this isn't necessarily to describe yourself. This is what universe of baseball stadium chasers that you have now become a part of. What are the characteristics of those people? Does it really run the gamut?
It does. And that's one of the great things about being quote unquote a chaser. It can be male, female, young, old. Some people might not even like baseball as a sport. They just love the stadiums because it really gives you the culture of the area that you're in and like who's attending the games and what the city is like. It's just a different experience. Even in New York, between the Mets and the Yankees, the atmosphere is different.
You get people who are genuinely like don't actually care that much about the sport, but it's like they see it as a access point to a place and for people watching, and it's like a cultural moment rather than a sports moment.
Yeah, there's a few of them. A lot, the majority of us are passionate about the actual game of baseball, but you do get into a lot of arguments about which stadium's the best, which stadium's the worst. Generally, you get the same consensus top three stadiums.
Wait, what's considered the top and what's considered the bottom? I'm interested. Can you reveal this?
Yeah. So for me personally, PNC Park in Pittsburgh is just a phenomenal stadium, just as well as the San Francisco Giants. The way that the baseball stadium is laid out within the city, at least in Pittsburgh, you're sitting in the stadium, but you're looking at the skyline of the city, and it's perfection. As well as San Francisco, maybe it's because it has the bay right there. But just the way that it's laid and positioned within the city, it's just phenomenal. The bottom, everyone that you talk to that's a baseball chaser will say Oakland number 30, but they're 29 for me. I'm not a big Tampa fan. I love that they have the Stingrays in the stadium, but for me, it's just so old and cold and dilapidated.
Where do you think, what city or town or stadium like has like the best energy when it's a game, like which is the one that's just like a ton of fun?
Oh, there's so many. Washington DC does it really well. The metro lets you out right near the stadium. There's a ton of bars and areas that are just having tailgating going on, and it just brings a ton of energy. Milwaukee does cornhole in the parking lot, and there's a ton of almost like a football game weekend where people are just going early and setting up. There's that Cincinnati and even San Francisco where you walk great distances to get into the stadium. It's like almost how soccer is, where you're getting groups of people and you're walking in herds to the stadium. There's a lot of energy that comes with that as well.
Yeah, that's so. When you were describing it, I was thinking about like going to football matches in London, and like so much of actually the experience is like walking with all the fans to the stadium, and you kind of like go past people like selling like sort of knockoff merch, and there's food stands, and there's drunk people, and all that stuff. It's part of the experience.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention Detroit is one of my favorite ballparks. It's probably in the top five, but I think it's also because that energy is there and they embrace the other sports and they're all kind of in the same area of town. And so there's a lot of tailgating and just pure energy that just comes from being in that area as well. I've been to all 30 in my head because I've been to the Rangers, but had I not visited them last year, somebody would say to me, oh, you haven't been to the new park. You were at the old parks. You haven't been to all 30. So, like, have you been to all 30? So it's...
Well, and, like, ultimately, You're doing it for yourself. You're not doing it to prove something to someone else or some person on the internet who's in one of these groups that says, like, oh, you didn't visit the new stadium, so you don't count. Like, this is for you. You love it.
Yeah.
It sounds like you have to visit during a game, right? Like, it's...
For me, for it to count, yeah.
You can't just, like, show up and just, like, take a peek and
tour.
Say you've seen it.
No.
Are there any kind of, like, other rules of the road when you're visiting where you're like, these are all the kind of, like, notes I need to hit to be able to get a full experience of this stadium?
For me, you have to go into the stadium. One of my favorite experiences, my husband has joined me for a lot of my pursuit of the 30 stadiums. And one of my bucket list items was to go back to Toronto, but I wanted to watch the game from the Marriott Hotel that sits in the outfield. So your window opens in your hotel room and you are in the stadium. So you're watching the game from your hotel room. They have seats. You can bring in food. It's phenomenal. It's just a different experience.
This is lavish.
Yeah, like the sounds and the atmosphere of the baseball stadium is inside your hotel room. It's something I wanted to do, but because my husband had never been to a Blue Jays game, I said, we're staying the night, but the next day we have to go in so you can count this as one of your stadiums. Because even though the hotel's connected, I can't consider it a game for you.
I know your husband, Devin, very well. He is the brother of my husband. I know that he loves sports very much. He wasn't chasing baseball stadiums before you guys met, as far as I'm aware. How did you kind of get him on board? Was he like, this is kind of a wild, like kind of wild characteristic of you? Or was he just like, I'm so game?
He loves it. But for the most part, like one of the road trips was when we went out and did a majority of the California teams. But we'll do it in conjunction with his passion, which is going to U2 concerts. So we will find a U2 concert and fly in and then plan a baseball game around the same time the concert is. So we'll do a twofer to, you know, satisfy his passions, but at the same time, take it in a game.
And you've both got your obsessions and you kind of accommodate both. I mean, I have to say, I do disagree on his U2 obsession. Yeah. Not the biggest fan. Coming up, what to wear when you want to be loyal to your team, but not annoy everyone you're meeting.
Do you sometimes wake up with the desire to understand the seen and the unseen forces guiding you through this life? And are you ready to begin uncovering the impact of these forces in your day-to-day? Do you feel that you could use a little push, a little oomph, or maybe even a little juju to be reminded of your power within your ancestors to truly understand you? Well, child, if so, it sounds like you need a little juju podcast in your life. Hey, Bays, I'm your host, Juju Bay. Welcome, Aquaba, bienvenidos to the Womanist Witchy Insight Show, diving deep into the Black healing journey, pop culture juju, and the ancestral spiritual systems that can help get us free. So please come on over and join the ALJ Pod family. New episodes drop every single Wednesday, and you can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to level up? For me, it's my hiking boots, which have gotten me over some pretty tough terrain. And I'm not talking about my morning commute on the New York City subway. They've pushed me to go to far-off places like trekking in the remote mountains in Patagonia, wildlife spotting amid the thick rainforest of the Amazon, and climbing through canyons in the Utah desert. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. There's an available panorama glass roof, 33-inch all-terrain tires, and multi-terrain select driving modes. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior means that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX. Luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. This message comes from Apple Card. Earn up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase, every day. Then, grow it at 4.50% annual percentage yield when you open a savings account with Apple Card. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card subject to credit approval. Savings available to Apple Card owners, subject to eligibility. Savings accounts provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC. Terms apply. When someone goes to see their team play, they usually wear their team's shirt or hat or something. You're going to see every team play.
Yeah.
What do you wear?
I'm a loyalist to the Braves. So I have like my old Braves hat that I've had for probably 20 plus years. But for a while, I had a t-shirt that just had the Major League Baseball logo on it. So if you don't know the logo, it's just a batter swinging. And then there's a baseball down in the logo and it's red, white, and blue. My shirt, instead of the baseball, had like a little heart on it, just to show that like I was there for the love of the game and for the actual organization. One time I had a tank top for a few seasons where the shirt itself was glittery and it was a baseball. So it had like the baseball red stitches going down it and it was just a white tank. So it was just, you wear stuff that shows the love of the game. If I like a shirt when I'm there, I'll buy it because I like the logo or the, because I do visit the stores inside. If I'm there to see the Red Sox play the Yankees, I'm, you know, obviously that's a very heated rivalry. So I'm not going to wear, you know,
you're not
different
picking
shirt.
A side.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just going straight baseball. I just love baseball, guys.
Neutral. You're like, I'm neutral. I'm just here to watch.
Go teams.
Are there stadiums where you're like, this food is actually like a real insight into the culture of this place, or like really, it's just like actually stellar?
I would say food is a pretty huge factor when it comes to stadiums. I will seek out a hot dog just because I feel like that's how I rank the stadiums.
Wait, I love this. And our social media director, Mercedes Bleth, is going to be so obsessed with this. Every city she goes to, she eats a hot dog and she ranks them. So you guys should talk.
Yeah, it's amazing. Pittsburgh just came out with this, I think it's a bratwurst with some pierogies on it. Texas, they do barbecue, and you make sure, you know, pick that up when you get there. Baltimore, make sure that you get some crabs or some fish fry, whatever, like Old Bay, whatever you can put Old Bay on. Baltimore wants you to be there for it.
Oh my God.
It's an experience in itself just doing the stadium foods. It's really great to see the variety that they're offering and how they cater to the fans that are coming in.
Clearly, there was a lot of driving time, a lot of highways, a lot of road stops. But, you know, you're from the East Coast and you were getting to kind of like be in different parts of the country. Kind of what sort of flashes of America were you getting? Like, I mean, I just feel like this whole thing must be giving you like such a better understanding of like this country.
Yeah, I mean, you get to see all great stuff. You get to see, is it Waldrug? It's like this, you see billboards for miles for this pharmacy and you finally go and it's ginormous, but it's such a tourist trap. Or I've seen a Jolly Green Giant, or the world's largest basket.
Wait, we had someone on here last year who said they saw the world's largest chair at a roadside stop.
I don't know that I've seen the chair, but I believe the basket is in Ohio and I think it's a Longenburger basket.
America's so weird. I just can't get enough of it.
Amazing. Yeah, there was some kind of corn maze that I saw on the way. Like, there's just like historic landmarks that it's not too far off your path. So you just pop off an exit, go and see it, and then pop back on. What I like about going in and seeing a stadium and knowing you have some free time to explore, you find places that just, you might have had the best meal of your life. And you're just like, why is this in this small random town that I don't even remember the name? Or I bought the pint glass from it and now I have it. And it reminds me of just being on the road and just having that freedom and just having a supportive partner that says, hey, this is your passion. How do we make it happen?
You mentioned a beer glass. Yeah. Are you collecting souvenirs on these trips? Because I will say that your house is very, it's not filled with knickknacks. It's not filled with some, as far as I'm aware, some secret room filled with baseball stadium paraphernalia and kitsch picked up from the side of highways. How are you, do you rein yourself in?
So I initially started, this is going to age me, when I first started doing it, I had the actual ticket stub. It was when you actually had a ticket that they ripped at the gate. Obviously, technology destroyed that for me. I know that there are other people that collect dirt from the field. They'll go down and ask an usher or someone to put it in a little vial. And I'm super jealous about those people.
I'm obsessed.
that are, They're so ingenious to do that. It's incredible.
Wait, how are they organizing the dirt? Are they must label them and archive them.
They do, and they put them in a shadow box, or somehow they display it in their house, and it will have like a little tiny vial, and it'll have the dirt from either the infield or the warning track. And it'll say like Wrigley Field or PNC or whatever baseball stadium it is. And I think it's just genius.
People are amazing.
It's just next level, and I love everything about it.
After the break, befriending the ushers and the eccentric forms of entertainment that can capture a place.
Hi, I'm Michael Calori, the co-host of Wired's Gadget Lab.
And I'm Lauren Good, the other co-host of Wired's Gadget Lab. Get ready to dive deep into the cultural phenomenon that's been shaping conversations, sparking movements, and breaking barriers for over a decade.
The new three-part docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History, based on the groundbreaking Wired cover story by Jason Parham, explores everything from the fun, games, and inside jokes that characterize the early years of Black Twitter, to the social movements, the voices, and the hashtags that made Black Twitter an influential force in nearly every aspect of American political culture. Join us as we unravel the threads of this digital community, tracing its origins, celebrating its triumphs, and exploring its impact on society at large.
Watch the series from Onyx Collective in association with Wired Studios, premiering on Hulu on May 9th.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.
I have a fun little question. You know, you kind of have like Take Me Out to the Ball Game as sort of the song that I think of as getting played in baseball games. Do you get other versions? Do different teams and different places have their own kind of music or go-to classics that they blast?
Sometimes. I mean, they generally do Take Me Out to the Ball Game for the seventh inning stretch. If there's a variety or a version of it, it's they're trying to get the crowd entertained in between innings. So they'll put three songs up and have the crowd vote on what song they want to hear. I think more specifically, and not necessarily music, but there are, I'll call them character races, and I love them.
Wait.
Like, watch.
Explain.
So Washington, D.C. has, and it's my favorite, it's the presidential race. So they have, and this is going to be terrible, I think it's Lincoln, Washington, Kennedy, and Roosevelt all come out and run the edge of the wall or the warning track. Pittsburgh has a pierogi race. Milwaukee has a sausage race.
When you say sausage race or pierogi race, people dressed as sausages or pierogies, are they carrying them like an egg and spoon race? Are they chasing?
It's a full-on costume.
Incredible. It's, incredible.
And they'll have some indicating factor, most likely a color, where like the pierogi is purple, orange, pink, and red. I always pick Lincoln for the record. But there's different races that each stadium will put on to engage the crowd. I think there's one stadium, and I don't even know if it's baseball related, where there's a guy that takes off and then another guy chases him. I think he's like some kind of crazy world-renowned sprinter because nobody ever wins.
Visit the Brooklyn Cyclone box office for more information or call 718-37-BK.
You know, when I've gone to these Coney Island Cyclones games, they always have some sort of entertainment. They've definitely had some sort of version of a race. They have like themes every weekend throughout the summer. One they do every year that sells out really quickly is they do a Seinfeld one, and they have an Elaine costume contest. So you have all of these women who come dressed as Elaine, and then they go out on the field and they have to compete to do the best Elaine dance.
That's amazing.
I don't know if they win anything or if it's just sort of the glory of doing it, but it's the most New York thing ever. It just, it like captures the place.
There's like giveaways the stadiums do. There's themes where it's like Star Wars night or Bark in the Park where you can bring your dog.
Okay, that sounds like my kind of, that's my kind of game. Yeah.
You want to go to Bark in the Park.
That's the one I want to go to.
But there's great themes and great giveaways. I think the Dodgers gave coasters, like really great coasters. We still have them. We use them constantly.
You've like created such a picture for me of like the sort of what these events are like. I mean, there's such a community to them, obviously, like sports so wrapped up in that. And it's so like colorful and like eccentric. Like it really does feel like it shows like kind of a lot of the eccentricities of America and the things that are so sort of endearing about it. You've seen such a breadth of America by doing this. It's more than I think like most people who live and have grown up here. It's really cool. Who do you make an effort to talk to when you're in the stadiums? Is it people in the crowd, people you're sitting with in the bleachers? Is it the ushers? Like who are you talking to try and like get a feel for the place?
It depends on if I've traveled alone or if I've traveled with somebody. In Dallas, the Rangers just built a new stadium and I had been to the one previously, but I was on a work trip and I went up to the usher and said, I've never been to the stadium. It was built during, or it opened during 2020. What am I missing? What are the highlights? And he gave me a full tour and it was amazing. Like I saw places I wouldn't have seen regularly had I just like taken in this ballpark on myself. Baseball fans are just so passionate about being there and about their teams that it's just so easy to engage in conversation with anybody there. In Arizona, there was this couple sitting in front of us, and they had this really thick, well-loved, worn book, and they were writing in it. And I tapped them on the shoulder, and I was like, what's going on here? And they, for like 30, 40 years, they had kept every home game in that book. They were keeping the score, and it was just like this great story. And the only reason they ever missed a game is they had to go to a funeral, and it's the only game they've ever missed.
You travel a lot for work, zipping across the country, and it sounds like you've been kind of like, sometimes you've been trying to like tack on a baseball stadium while you've been doing it. I know that you're used to traveling alone a lot. It sounds like this has been a really nice way of connecting yourself with people when you are traveling solo.
I'll go to a conference, and if I know that I'm in town and there's a game, I'll take an Uber or something, or I'll convince somebody from the conference and say, hey, I'm going to go over and check out Kansas City today. Do you want to go take in the Royals game? And they'll say yes, and we'll go, or they'll say no. And then I have to, like, I'll quickly jump online. There's a Facebook group that I'm in, and I'll ask some questions. Where does rideshare pick up? So as a solo woman, you want to make sure that you're not walking, you know, really far by yourself and the, you know, games get out at 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, and you're like, hey, where am I going in this strange neighborhood that I have no idea where I am?
Stadiums are often kind of like in random parts of, they're rarely like just in the center of a place. They're often positioned in like slightly odd. They're not going to be like where most of the hotels are, for example.
Right, because they need acreage to put the stadium and the parking lots and any fanfare that goes around it. So as a solo traveler, it's, you just kind of a little bit more aware of who's around you, what's happening. Sometimes you have to leave a little bit early just for logistic purposes of safety.
If there's someone listening who shares a similar obsession but feels like maybe it's a bit much, or they seem intimidated by the idea of becoming a so-called chaser, what's your advice for them?
My first advice is to find whatever social media platform you're on and just do some research. There are so many people that are already doing what you're wanting to do or a version of it, that you can find people who have the same passion and are willing to share the insider information that you're wanting to know. I'm on a Facebook group that just happens to be called Ballpark Chasers. And there's a lot of fun debates and insider information. And you can just easily say, like, I'm going to X today to see the game. What should I be looking for? What should I do? And then you can get to the stadium and make up your mind and talk to some ushers. We've been to the Hall of Fame. I've gone to the Louisville Slugger Baseball Museum. There's other things that you can do that's not just necessarily going to a stadium. But I mean, I'm definitely happy that I checked off all 30.
when you're sitting in the stadium, whether you're with friends or you're there by your own, which is really its own experience to go watch a sports game by yourself. But how does it make you feel? How do you feel in the stadium when you're there?
You're there with the adrenaline and you're loving it and you're hyped up and you're excited to see a game. But it's also a feeling of home where it's just like a calmness where you can just, for me, I like to sit back, take in the game, have a beverage. Maybe it's peanuts or, you know, the hot dog that I'm seeking. But I know that I can sit down and relax and just take in the evening, and I don't have to worry about having to have all the external noises of just life in general, because I know that I'm in my happy place.
Tiff, this has been so fun. I mean, you've covered some crazy ground.
Aw, thank you. I feel like I didn't get to, like, half of it.
I mean, your knowledge is just, it's infinite. It's amazing. I feel like we've never got to talk about it in this way before. It's really great.
It's such a passion of mine, so thank you for realizing.
Really wonderful.
Thanks. It's easy to talk about something you love.
Where did the mic come from?
Devin. I was like, hey, can I use your mic for Lolly's thing today?
Well, it's perfect. It's really great. Excellent.
And next week, only 15% of journalists are women, and that's in 2024. We meet three who travel the world to conflict zones and make pictures that are both shocking and intimate. See you then.
I'm Lale Arikoglu, and you can find me on Instagram at Lale Hannah. Our engineers are Jake Loomis, Nick Pittman, and James Yost. The show's mixed by Amar Lal. Jude Kampfner from Corporation for Independent Media is our producer. Chris Bannon is Condé Nast's head of global audio. See you next week.
And if you are watching this video, either I'm dead or I'm in a very, very, very bad situation.
She said, oh my God, I can hear gunshots. I can hear men outside.
Where are they? What have they done to them? Are they dead? Are they not dead?
There is one suspect, her father, the Sheikh.
It's Madeline Barron from In the Dark. We've teamed up with our new colleague, Heidi Blake at The New Yorker, to try to answer a question about one of the richest men in the world, the ruler of Dubai.
Why do the women in Sheikh Mohammed's family keep trying to run away?
There's 5 policemen outside and 2 policewomen inside the house. So basically I'm a hostage.
And he reminded me that Sheikh Mohammed can get me anywhere.
Because you're a rich and powerful person, you can effectively break any law you want in our country and get away with it.
The Runaway Princesses is available now. Follow In the Dark wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.